please, will you turn back in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, again it's page 866 if you're using the church Bible. We're going to concentrate this evening on part of verse 5. While Peter was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Let's again ask God's help. Once more, O God, we confess that this is your truth, and only by your Spirit can we rightly and savingly understand it. We plead then for your presence with us. O Lord, cause your face to shine upon us, smile upon us tonight, we pray, to bless us beyond all imagination, above all that we could ask or think. O God, show us your glory, shining in the face of Jesus Christ, we pray, for we ask it in his name. Amen. I wonder how many sermons you've heard today. You might say one. I would suggest you've heard probably a lot more. You've probably heard hundreds, even in the last week. You've not been sitting in a church, and a lot of those sermons have not been Christian sermons. If you like football, you've probably heard in the last couple of weeks hundreds of sermons all telling you that football is religion, and here are your idols, bow down before them. If you've had the radio on, if you've read something on the internet, if you've opened a newspaper or a magazine, you've heard or read a sermon. You've heard a voice calling for your attention, calling for your commitment, calling for your mind and for your heart, making some claim upon your attention, telling you to go a certain way, think a certain way, live a certain way. So which sermon are you going to hear? Whose voice are you going to listen to? Which of these various claims for your attention are you going to hear? And which person, which man, which woman are you going to follow? God gives us the answer here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 5. There are at least two other people on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ, Moses and Elijah. If, like Peter and the others here, you're a good Jew, you couldn't get much better than Moses or Elijah. Moses, the great lawgiver. Elijah, the great prophet. And yet, using words that Moses himself spoke in Deuteronomy chapter 18, God speaks to single out Jesus Christ. You see, Peter's a bit confused. He says, let's make some tabernacles, let's make some shelters, one for you, Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And that's when the cloud comes down and God speaks, and Moses and Elijah disappear, and God, if you will, points his finger at Jesus of Nazareth and says, this and this one alone is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Listen to what he says. With so many other voices calling for your attention and your affection, don't listen to anybody but Jesus Christ. One man who writes about this verse says that this is the great gospel duty. This is the response that we should all make to the good news, to hear Jesus Christ. And he is still speaking. And not just by a faint echo. For example, we read in John's Gospel, chapter 6, these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, as true now as ever they once were. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. I will not turn away anybody who comes to me. Whoever desires life may come to me. Whoever wants to be saved from their sin may come to me. Whoever wants peace with God may come to me, and I will never turn them away. Or again in John chapter 7, the Lord Jesus stands up and says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. When this world fails to satisfy, when nothing in life quenches your thirst for something that means something, something that is true, something that is lasting, something that is precious. Here is Jesus, and he is still proclaiming good news. Are you thirsty? Come to me and drink. Jesus is still making those declarations today, and we still have countless reasons why we should hear the voice of Jesus, why we should submit to his commandments, why we should receive these words of promise and blessing, and why we should bow the knee to him and trust him for our Saviour. And what I want to do this evening, in as much as I can, is simply to underline and enforce what God said there on that mountain. This is his beloved Son, and he is pleased with him. Hear him. Why then should everybody here tonight hear Jesus? My first reason is this: because he is God's beloved Son. Because he is the one in whom God delights. Now, you may think you're here tonight to hear a man, and in one sense you are. But the Apostle Paul says that when the gospel is preached, when the good news is proclaimed, it is not the voice of a mere man. It is, in fact, the voice of God that you are hearing as it comes from the Bible through the preacher to your ears. Jesus himself is speaking through his word, the Bible. In Luke's gospel, he says to his disciples when they go out to preach this good news, that whoever hears you is hearing me, and whoever refuses to hear you is refusing to hear me. The gospel then is the voice, not of a man, but the voice of Jesus Christ himself. And even here in Matthew chapter 17, when Moses and when Elijah are gone, when the servants of Jesus have disappeared, it is the Son who still stands and who still speaks and who is still to be heard. Why is he the last man standing? It is because he is the supreme teacher and the only Saviour. All wisdom is bound up in this Jesus. He is the only one who ever spoke the whole truth, the whole time. He is altogether pure. He is the enduring God, come as a man to save us from our sins. And still he's calling us. And still he's beckoning us to come to himself. Again in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, verses 28 to 29, he says this: "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You see what he's saying? Come to me. I am the Son of God. I am the Savior of sinners. He is an unrivaled person, and there is nobody to compare with him worthy of being heard. If you read your Bible, and if you haven't yet, I ask you, go away and do it. And start perhaps with Matthew, or with Mark, or with Luke, and with John. And as you read these Gospels, look at Jesus Christ. And look at who he is, and look at how he speaks, and how he acts. And you will see him there, and he is called the friend of sinners. And men and women and boys and girls of every kind come willingly to him, and find in him the truest friend they ever had. Children, if you will, sit upon his knee. He has an open heart for the needy, an open hand to do good to whoever calls upon him. You will see him page after page, sentence after sentence, word after word, deed after deed, in all his might as one who is powerful to save, and in all his mercy as one who is willing to take to himself everyone who calls upon him. There is no one as glorious as Jesus. No one with the dignity of Jesus. No one who stoops so low and is as approachable as Him. No one so beautiful in everything that He is. No one else who is able to save. And therefore, I would have you hear Him. Because He is the lovely and beloved Son. But I also want you to hear Jesus. Because God, His Father, powerfully commands it. Here He is on the mountain. This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Do you hear fatherly pride in that declaration? Righteous delight in one's own son. This one, He is the Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. My soul delights in Him, and I have given Him the highest place. I've put Him in the top spot. And He is there not just because I'd love Him and delight in Him, but I have sent Him into the world as the Messiah. That is, as the promised one, the chosen one, the one whom I have anointed with My Spirit, precisely in order to save My people from their sins. And it is as His beloved Son and the Saviour that the Father here is commending Jesus to every one of us here tonight. Think of it. God the Father speaking still through the pages of this book and saying, here's My Son. Listen to Him as He calls you to come and receive life and blessing. Hear Him. It is the Son who makes the Father known. We've already read from Matthew 11 where He says, come to Me. Why does He say, come to Me? Because just before He has said, all things have been delivered to Me by My Father. He's put them all in My hands. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. You see what the Father has done? He has put into the hands of Christ the power to make Himself known. It is through Jesus that we come to know God for salvation. Again, in John's Gospel, chapter 17 and verse 3, the Lord Jesus says, this is eternal life, that sinners like you and like me should come to know God and to know Me, Jesus, the Son, whom You have sent. Have you ever thought about that? That this is why Jesus came into the world. His Father sent Him for the express purpose of saving people like us from our sins. God sent Jesus on a mission to redeem us, and that is why He is so delighted, so pleased, when someone trusts in His Son and is saved from their sins. And Jesus always was His Son. And Jesus still is His Son. And God has never taken back His word. God has never pointed us to anybody else. God is still saying, this is My beloved Son. I am well pleased in Him because He has come as I commanded Him. Because He is doing what I sent Him to do. Because He is going up to Calvary to die as a sacrifice for His people and for mine. He is accomplishing My work of salvation as I have sent Him to do. And because then the Father delights in Him, sending Him to save, and commends Him to us and commands us, let us hear Him when Jesus says, come to Me, that you may have life everlasting. You should hear Jesus, because there is no other salvation. You should hear Jesus, because there is no other salvation. In John's Gospel, a time is recorded when the people who'd been following Jesus turned their backs on Him and went away. The things that He was preaching and teaching, they didn't want to hear anymore. And Jesus looked at His disciples and He said to them, are you going to go away as well? And Peter, as he so often did, as he did on the mountain, was the first to speak. He said, Lord, to whom else shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else can we turn? What other hope is there for sinners like us? Who else contains in himself and brings with him life everlasting? And there are 1,000 voices that are clamoring for your attention. There are 1,000 different ways that you are being called to go. There are 1,000 forks in the road that you will come to one after the other, and you will have a choice whether you will go down this way or that way. And the voices are calling for your attention. They're calling for your commitment. They're calling for you to put your hopes and your trusts and to depend your immortal soul upon something that they are saying. And God is telling us here that there is one voice and one voice alone that speaks life to the dead. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. There is one name under heaven that is given amongst men by which we must be saved. What the writer there, Luke, is saying in the book of Acts is that if you are going to be saved, it must be through the name of Jesus, for there is no other way of everlasting life. There is one gateway to glory. There is one narrow path that leads to the celestial city. There is one Saviour of sinners, and his name is Jesus Christ, and therefore you must hear him. Because if you listen to some other lying voice, your soul will be lost forever. There is one good news that is the good news of God's salvation to everyone who believes. And it is the good news about this man, Jesus the Christ, who suffered and died in the place of sinners. And there is no hope anywhere else in this world. Every other promise that anybody ever makes to you about the security of your soul now or eternally is a lie if it is not a promise that takes you to Jesus of Nazareth. There is only one way to be saved from your sins. There is only one escape from death and from hell, and it is Jesus Christ. And because there is only one way, I ask you tonight to hear him. Hear him, because you have little time. There's only one gospel, there's only one Jesus, and there's only one lifetime in which we can hear and respond to this good news. Do you know how the Bible describes you, my friend? Like a bloom on a flower that is fading away. Like the grass of the field that is being scorched by the sun. And like the breath of a man as it passes away. And that's what you are in the grand scheme of things. And your life is short, and eternity is close at hand. And trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is not a luxury under such circumstances. It is an urgent necessity. You cannot afford to delay, because you do not know how many more moments of life you will be granted. In the opening chapters of the letter that was written to some Hebrew Christians, three times in brief, short succession, the man says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And then again, "Today." And then again, "Today." Do you feel the urgency? When must you turn to God? When must you hear his word? When must you trust in Jesus? This man gives the answer from God. Today, today, today. Because the day is passing and will soon be gone. And so God urges us to hear his Son and to come now into the kingdom, because we cannot afford any delay. Why are you waiting, if you are? Why have you not yet trusted in Jesus to save you from your sins? Do you think your life will just keep rolling on for as long as you need it to do so? Do you think that the day of judgment is going to be postponed on your behalf in that sense? That you can guarantee that your life will not come to an end? That you can be sure that this whole world will not come to an end in the blink of an eye within the next few moments? You think of this glorious sunset and the clouds that are in the sky. Who are you and who am I to say that these clouds will not part and the glory that we see will not be the glory of the setting sun, but the glory of the coming sun, Jesus Christ, to judge the living and the dead? You do not know whether you have seconds to live, let alone minutes, hours, or days. Time is short. Your time is short. Because your time is short, I'm pleading with you tonight to hear Him. Hear Him. Because of the blessings to be obtained. Hear Him. Because of the good that is found for sinners in Jesus Christ. Hearing Him is the condition for true and lasting happiness. Mark says at the end of his gospel, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And in that word, saved, there is a whole eternity of joy and happiness. The Lord God speaks through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 55 and verse 3 when he says, hear, and your soul shall live. Your undying soul shall receive life everlasting and overflowing with all heavenly joys and blessings in and through Jesus Christ. Christ Himself is the great blessing, but He is the storehouse. He is the treasury of all the good things that God has stored up for those who love Him. He is the one who puts a heart of flesh into us rather than a heart of stone. He is the one who binds up the wounded man. He is the one who brings light into darkness. It is His Spirit that takes up residence in the heart of a saved person. It is through Jesus that we have an inheritance with the saints in the light, a glory to look forward to. It is because we have been joined to Jesus that God the Father calls sinners His beloved sons with Jesus Christ. Everything that we have, the hope of glory, is Christ in us. And words cannot capture the sweetness and the splendor and the beauty and the wonder of the good things that there are for sinners like us in Jesus Christ. By comparison, everything in this world is dust and sand and ashes. Which of you would slake your thirst on a bottle of sand? Which of you would try and feed your stomachs on a plate full of ashes? By comparison with Jesus Christ, the best that this world has to offer, passing away, even the good things in themselves, are nothing and less than nothing. The Lord Christ Himself warned us, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And here in Christ is life everlasting, life abounding, life overflowing, blessings that cannot be calculated, not least because they stretch into eternity. And my friend, if you would have this life in Jesus Christ, if you would know the joy of your sins being forgiven, if you would know the blessings of being freed from that sin that chains you, that ugly desire that you cannot shake, the burden of guilt, a conscience that always cries in your inner ear and says, you are a sinner. If you would know God as your Father, reconciled through Jesus Christ, peace and pardon and joy and light and life and love and happiness, hear Him as He says, come to Me, that you may have life. And finally this evening, hear Him because of the sin and the punishment of turning away. When the disciples heard God speak from the cloud, verse 6, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. And my friends, if God speaks words of blessing, pointing to His Son, and the very echoes of the divine voice make these men fall on their faces and tremble, how much more if we reject his word? How much more if we will not heed the voice of God? How much more if we disobey and turn our backs upon the one to whom God himself is commending to us? Again, the writer to the Hebrews says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who spoke from heaven." I'm warning you this evening that if a sinner hears about life in Jesus Christ and turns his back upon the Son of God who came to save us from our sins, that man or that woman merits damnation. They have turned their back upon the cure for the disease of sin. They have rejected God's own provision. And there are few more terrible promises than the one that Jesus himself uttered in Mark's Gospel and chapter 6, when he looked at several towns where he had done many mighty works and where he had preached this very good news. And he said to them, "It would be better for Sodom and Gomorrah, places that were proverbial for their wickedness, better for places that were marked out as grossly sinful in the day of judgment, than it would be for those who heard and saw and knew Jesus' presence and yet turned their back upon him and went away." Now you may know people who you think have sinned grossly and awfully and disgustingly, and you perhaps say, "I wouldn't touch them with a barge pole." But if you've heard about Jesus even tonight, and you walk away, it may go better with some of them in the day of judgment than it does with you. Because you knew there was a Savior. You heard that God has sent His Son. You heard Him speak through His Word and say, "Come to Me." And will you walk away from Him? Turn your back upon the only Redeemer of God's people? It is a terrible sin to reject the Word of God. It is a fearful crime to turn your back upon the living Son. In Psalm 2, God Himself speaks concerning His Son. And He says this, "Be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish in the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in Him." You see how God Himself brings this last urgent warning and entreaty to those to whom He speaks. He's saying, "Here is the Son. And judgment will come upon those who want nothing to do with Him. Therefore, God Himself pleads, kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and you perish in the way when His wrath is kindled but a little." And then here's the counterpoint. "Blessed, truly and lastingly happy are those who put their trust in Him." And because God is angry with rebels against His Son, and because God is willing still to bless those who put their trust in this Jesus, hear Him. Hear Jesus when He says, "Come to Me that you may have life." It is His gracious call that we are hearing tonight. It is His promise of mercy. It is His offer of salvation. It is His invitation to come and have life in Him. And it may be a poor one, but you have now heard another sermon. And it's not the voice of a man that I want you to hear, and I plead you will not. I want you to hear the voice of God in Christ as He opens His arm to sinners and says, "Come and receive life. Hear the Son. Believe what Jesus says. Accept Him as your Savior. Before Him bow the knee for His glory's sake and for your soul's sake. Hear, hear, and your soul shall live. And if you will hear His voice, then listen to no voice besides. Jesus describes Himself as the Good Shepherd. And He says about His sheep, they hear My voice and they follow Me. The true sheep of Jesus is marked in two places, in the ear and in the foot. The child of God, the one who has received life in Jesus Christ, is a man, a woman, a boy or a girl who has no other guide but Jesus, no other hope but Jesus, follows no other shepherd but Jesus, marked in the ear and in the foot. They hear Him now. They follow Him faithfully. And wonder of wonders, one day the flock of Christ will hear Christ Himself in a way that now we cannot. Today He speaks to us from a book. Here are His letters of love, and how glorious and gracious they are. But those who hear Him now will hear Him again in the day when He comes, and He will say to those who have heard His gospel offer and received Him as Savior, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Will you hear Jesus? Will you hear Him now as He proclaims Himself the Savior of sinners, the one who Himself lays down His life that the punishment that your sins and mine deserve might not fall upon us, but might fall upon Him? And there He is, and He says, "Are you thirsty? Come and drink. Are you burdened? Come and have the burden lifted. Are you dead and dying in your trespasses and sins? Here am I," says Jesus, "and in Me is life and life abundant." Hear Him now, and when He comes again in His glory, it will be His voice from His glorious lips that you hear, and He will welcome you into the joy of your Lord. Amen.